We're going to start in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2. And I wanted to share on the subject, it's kind of an odd title, but it's a question, what do you see? What do you see? I'm sure you've noticed, I've noticed through the years that many of the things that we do are based on what we see or what we understand, and many of the things that we don't do are based on what we don't see or don't understand. It's just the way life kind of is. I remember when I was in sixth grade, it was the first time I heard this song. It was the Wall Township sixth grade choir, which I was not a part of.
Thank God.
But when I heard this song, I thought, oh, what an incredible, let me just grab my life. It's a song called Do You Hear What I Hear? It's a Christmas song. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you hear what I hear? Do you see what I see? And when I heard that song, just something inside of me just melted. And I recognized it had to be about Jesus Christ because it was a Christmas song. But I didn't understand it. But it just really got me thinking. the things that we do see many times can cause why we do what we do. And here's an example of it in Matthew chapter 2 concerning the birth of Jesus Christ, the Magi. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." So these wise men, who were quite a ways away from the Jerusalem area, came looking because of what they saw. They saw his star, and it's referring to the constellations that happened, which God set up as a sign for the birth of the Savior. Certain, just planet constellations and things, and there were certain things that would happen. And that would indicate that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Messiah, was born. And they knew about this stuff because centuries earlier, Daniel, in carrying away the children of Israel to Babylon, he was chosen among a few other young men to serve the king in administrative things and this and that. And his talents and his knowledge of God became useful in the kingdom. And he taught their wise men about these constellations. And remarkably, the knowledge stayed with a group of people accurate for centuries. And then one day, these guys who were looking saw it and went, whoa. And then because of what they saw and understood, then their movement, what they did, got them to make this big long trek to Jerusalem to find the Savior, to see him. And so what they saw definitely had an effect on what they did. And remarkable when you think about the possibility, they were the only ones on earth that saw it and understood what was happening. With all the people that lived on earth, they may have been the only ones. We know the shepherds saw Jesus right after he was born, but that was by invite. Special invitation, but they still were invited to go take a look. These guys actually were looking and saw it and moved accordingly. So, in our lives, there are things that if we see that, what God's word says or what he communicates to us, it can very well change what we're doing. In a radical way. And I think we've all experienced that for many times through our lives. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. It was quite radical and quite bold for those wise men to make that journey to Jerusalem. And logic would tell you, hey, let's go to where the king is. He surely would know. Of course he didn't. chapter 11. Let's take a look at Noah here. In verse 7, this isn't Noah Rivera, but someone somewhere. It says, by faith or by believing, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. This his actions were definitely based on what God had showed him and explained to him what's coming up. At this point in time, as far as we understand, there was never rain on the earth. The earth watered itself by mists that came out of the up from the ground. Wasn't rain like we know it. He didn't live by a body of water, and God instructed him to make this gigantic ark, and then get in it in due time, bring all these animals with him. And as far as we know, it took 120 years to build, so it was quite a while. It wasn't like a rash thing. He did it in a few weeks, and oh, maybe I'm making a mistake. That's a long time to consider what you're doing and why you're doing it. So whatever he heard and saw made a major impression on his actions. Just incredible. And of course, the world probably laughed their ass off at him. You know, here's this guy, crazy Noah, building this big thing that he says is going to float. For what reason? Why? I mean, it's right there on the dirt. But he knew. He absolutely knew. Verse 8, another man, incredible man, by believing, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Genesis 15, 16, 17 described the calling of God to Abraham. And one of the things he did is he told him to look up in the sky and look at the stars. And he said, so shall thy seed be. You know, you see all these stars. Yet Abraham at the time didn't have any children of his own. And he was a little old, and Sarah was a little old. But that's what he saw. That's what God showed him. And so God called him out of where he was. He was living in an idolatrous country, and he pulled out. Verse 9, by believing he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Was it that he, when he was traveling through the Canaan land, where is that city? I've been looking and looking. He saw it. You know, God showed him the future, what was going to happen. Just like we know from the scriptures, Jesus Christ is coming back. Just like we know from the book of Revelation, some of the New Jerusalem coming down and the things that are going to come to pass. And we have that in our hearts. I'm sure there's not a day that goes by for any of us that we don't consider Jesus Christ could be coming back today. I mean, today could be the day. And that's such a ridiculous thought for some people. You're thinking he's coming back. I don't even think he ever lived. How could he come back? But in our hearts, it's there. Well, Abraham, he knew what he knew, what God showed him. He was looking for a city whose foundation builder was God Almighty. And he lived that way. Certainly, that was a bold move on his behalf to pack up and go and start a whole new nation. But he did, and it was all based on what he saw. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. The things we do so often are based upon what we have seen and understand with our eyes or our spiritual eyes. And the things that we don't see, we don't do. Matthew chapter 16, an interesting thing concerning Jesus Christ and Peter. Jesus asked some of the apostles who the general populace thought he was. And in verse 13, it says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. And others say Jeremiah. Or maybe one of the other prophets. It's a little confusion here, but they're saying you're something. He said unto them, well, okay, but whom do you say? Whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What an answer. You know, he didn't say, I think you might be Jeremiah too. I'm thinking of that. Or you might be Elijah, because he's pretty powerful and he's done a lot of big things here. But no, he squarely said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. This did not come by your five senses. Because he didn't have a name tag that said, Jesus, the Son of God. He didn't have a whole lot of people going around him telling him that either. Thou art, hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. That's who showed Peter. Peter, God revealed it to Peter, who this man Jesus was. Did it change his life? Well, he went from a fisherman to serving the Lord Jesus Christ the rest of his life. What a change that made for his life. All based on what he was shown, what he saw, what he understood. Certainly changed his actions. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. The things that we see. So when I was that little 12-year-old, I heard that song, you know, do you see what I see? It just got me thinking. It didn't go very far. Like John prayed, you know, there's people that we've spoken the word of God to that really haven't responded too much to what we have spoken to them, but you never know in time what may happen. 6 years later, I started hearing the book of Ephesians at a fellowship. So it's definitely sowed some seeds, the silly little song. Acts chapter 2, a very familiar verse of scripture, verse 25, on the day of Pentecost, Peter, that guy who figured out who Jesus was, speaking. And it says, for David speaketh concerning him, referring to Jesus Christ. I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because you will not leave my soul in hell or gravedom. Neither wilt thou suffer or allow thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy and with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that on the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. God showed David some wonderful things, one of which was that the Christ would come through his genealogy, his line. Incredible things. Did it affect David's life and what he did and didn't do? Sure. He went from being a shepherd of sheep to shepherding God's people. That's a major change when you think about it. So, just wild. Let's go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. I've been spent a lot of time in Psalms the past couple weeks. Psalm 119. Verse 32. It says, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. And this verse just wasn't making sense to me in the sense that, you know, he's saying, I'm going to run the way of the commandments when thou shalt enlarge thine heart. And it sounds like he's waiting on God, and until God makes a move, I'm not going to do anything. It just didn't seem right. But in looking at the word when and looking at other translations, it became a lot more obvious to me. This is from the New International Version. It says, I run in the path of your commands, for you have broadened my understanding. The running in the paths followed the enlargement or the understanding, the growth in the understanding. He started understanding God's word more, started seeing the paths that God wanted him to run, to be in, and because of that understanding was willing to do so. You know, just like Noah, would he have built an ark if God didn't show him, hey, this is what's going to happen on earth, this is what I'd like you to do. Let's see. Living life or die, you know. But for Abraham, would he have moved to the Canaan land? Would he have done things that he did? I run in the path of your commands, for you have broadened my understanding. As we learn more and more of God's word, we do make changes. We're going to come back to 119 in a minute, but we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 4. We've all gone through this and continue to go through this. Our lives have changed so much through the years. And it's really due to the great things that happen by the world, you know. Things that we've learned from God and His Word that have changed our lives in such a great way. 1 Peter chapter 4, and this is referring to believers that have believed God's word, have made Jesus Christ their Lord, has started, you know, started living God's word. And in verse 4, it says, and this is talking about the people who aren't walking God's word, who aren't involved with God or the things of God and are involved with the things of the world. It says, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? I'm sorry. We're going to start in verse 3, not 4. It says, for the time of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness. You know, we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banqueting, abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the excess of riot, speaking evil of you. So, you know, one time a person could have been a big party animal. Just do whatever you want to do. Some of these, you know, things that we see in the world that go on, it's like, I can't believe they're considered that fun. But at one time, we may have been doing it and thinking, oh, this is a lot of fun. And then we hear the truth of God's word and change our direction. And that stuff doesn't look so good anymore. But the people who are still in there say, you're having fun just praying together with other people. What is wrong with you? You know, it just seems strange to them because they don't see it. But we do. And so it does have an effect on what we do. Let's go back to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. You know, what is it that we see? Do we see things of God in our lives? Do we see righteousness and see His protection and His goodness and His wisdom? You know, Chris taught about wisdom and understanding a couple of weeks ago. And do we tap into those type of things and recognize it? What are we looking at and seeing? Psalm 119, verse 18. Says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. That's a great desire. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. You know, often I'm sure, I know I do, I would imagine most of us here have the same feeling. Often feel like, you know, so like that song says, this world is not my home. You know, it's just the things that go on in our society, I just don't relate to as far as being enjoyable. You know, just is like, I certainly wouldn't pay to go do it. Just, that would be prison, where you got to do all these stupid things that the world wants you to do. That'd be worse than sitting behind bars, I think. Not the bars and liquid bars, but the... Anyway, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll look at Paul, some of the things that he did, some of the things that he endured just to be able to have the opportunity to speak God's word and to help people with God's word, the incredible things that he endured. Certainly he may have thought, why am I doing this? Maybe he didn't, but he certainly had a conviction. We've read these verses before. Chapter 11, verse 23 says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, more above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one, that's being whipped with a whip, 39 times, lashes, 5 different times. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, and that's not with marijuana, that's with actual stones. Three times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, perils of robbers, perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things which are without, those things which come upon me daily, the care of all the churches. That right there in and of itself could be a lot. Then endure all those physical hardships. And why was he doing it? It's a lot of fun getting beat up. He did it because he, in the next chapter, talks about, you know, that he saw the next administration of time. God showed it to him, and he kept that in his heart, the hope of the return of Jesus Christ and the things that are coming in the future. And so when he was getting beat, whipped, we've all been in pools, and you kind of hold yourself up, you know. You do it long enough, you get tired. Your arms get tired. You're in the ocean long enough, you get really cold. And a night and a day in the deep, I mean, And he's doing it for what reason again? I'm sure this stuff came to his heart and said, you know, the picture of what he saw was a lot bigger and a lot more enjoyable than it allowed him to endure what he endured. Just incredible. Really, really, really incredible. So what we see is very important. And we're going back to Psalm 119. I was going to look at the record of Balaam, but we really don't have the time. But that is just such a funny record. You know, Balaam with King Balak. And Balak wanted him to curse the children of Israel as they were passing through towards the Promised Land. And he kept saying, hey, I'm only going to speak what God tells me to speak. And he so badly wanted the money that the king was going to give him. And he got on his ass and saddled up to go when he wasn't supposed to. And the ass saw this angel with a sword and all that, but he didn't see it until later. God opened up his eyes. The greatest thing is that he actually talked back to us. I mean, it's amazing that God showed him the angel. What's really amazing is he talked to his own ass. I had a conversation with him. And the ass had more logic than the bell. That's a funny record. Okay, Psalm 119, verse 30. I have chosen the way of truth. Why would somebody ever want to do that when it sometimes can get you, you know, personal suffering or whatever? Well, maybe the things that they see are much bigger than the inconveniences. I have chosen the way of truth. No longer lying, no longer cheating, no longer stealing, no longer taking advantage of. You know, no longer living for ourselves. Thy judgments have I laid before thee. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. That's a great goal. You know, I want to live the word of God till my last day of breathing, or till the return of Jesus Christ, whichever comes first. So lately, Susan and I, our little granddaughter Ellie, said this funny thing a few months ago. Susan was saying something to her, and she said, and then you die. So we started saying, and then you die. So I changed it this week. And then Jesus Christ comes back, because not every person is going to die that lives. I mean, if Jesus Christ came back today, we'd be the first generation of people that never died. Right?
Yeah.
So, we were inaccurate in our statement. until the return. So, incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not... Oh, sorry. I shall keep it until the end. Verse 34, give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. There's the world's riches, and there's God's riches. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken or make me alive, thou in thy way. And it just keeps on going. It's just great. What a great heart to have. And this is something that we enjoy with one another. I mean, we all have a great love for God, a healthy respect for God's word and for one another, and that we get to fellowship with one another on a regular basis is just delightful. I don't know what it would be like without believers around that love God and that want to serve. It just would be horrible. There are places on earth that there are some people that there's just no other believers around them. It's got to be terrible. Fortunately, we are in a spot where there are believers. Love to have a lot more, but, you know, it is what it is. There are a lot of people who love God that live in Monmouth County and Ocean County. It's just, you know, none of them are hungry for a lot more truth, or they're satisfied with what they are, but they're born again, and they are doing what they do know. But it's a great privilege to be around God's people, and, you know, to hear from God, you know, in manifestations, it's just nice. We have a great, big, wonderful God. So the things that we do are often based on what we see, and the things that we don't do are based on what we don't see. And, you know, that's not a truth, but it is a generality of life. So I'm thankful that we get to see what God continues to reveal in His Word. Great place to look, right?